Bible Gateway NIV version, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others.
Thank you so much, Ben. Well, this talk is, as Ed kind of signaled, about putting others first. And in recent weeks, I think we've seen some beautiful examples of people putting others first. I was particularly struck by the staff at Pilgrim Wood Care Home. Did you read about them? They slept in their tents, not all in that one tent, different tents. But the point is, they slept in their tents apart from their families. They put themselves into quarantine so they could continue to care for their vulnerable clients. I mean, some lovely examples of putting others first. But I think in lockdown, we've also been confronted by our natural tendency to put ourselves first. Why do I use up the last of the hot water? Why do I always take the best seat in front of the TV? Why do I want people at work to give me the credit? Well, it's because this bowl is me. I want to fill it with Smarties. I want my needs met so that I feel good about myself. And the best way to make sure my needs are met is to get my elbows out and make sure I meet them. Put me first. So I use up the hot water when I want to. I take the best seat. I make sure I get the credit I jolly well deserve for that piece of work. The whole idea of putting others first, it sounds like a terrible idea. It sounds like you're giving your Smarties away. Anyone eat, if anyone else need a shower before me? Where do you want to sit? Where's a good view for you to watch the TV? It was all Ruth's idea, none to do with me. See, me first fills me up, but others first leaves me with nothing. At least that's what I fear. The situation in our passage in the Bible is Paul is in prison, and his fear is that while he's in prison, his friends in Philippi will drift into putting themselves first. And he knows that if they do, then the church in Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, will fall apart. I think that's a danger for us. During lockdown, when we're away from some of the usual kind of checks and balances of Christian fellowship, our natural drift will be to turn in on ourselves. So the big question on our hearts is, have we got the flour we need to make sourdough? And the danger is we don't think beyond the four walls of our home. We just think, me first. What do I need to see myself through this time? And that starts to infect the way we think about the church family. We start to think about it in a me first sort of a way. So some of us are thinking we need the live stream to be shorter and more child-friendly. Others are thinking we need it to be longer and meatier. And I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. Just the danger is when we think about it, we each think about it through the filter of what I need. And it's so easy to forget that there are others whose needs are very different. So life is so full on. We're just thinking about how we can get through this. And we don't stop to think of those for whom life is really lonely, whose days are really empty, who could do with a call, who'd really love a walk on the downs with a friend. We just don't think. Or maybe for you, lockdown has been really quiet. And you're a bit miffed about why more people haven't been in touch. And you don't stop to think about how they might be under enormous pressure. And actually, there could be ways you could be reaching out to serve and help them. Or as a small group, you're talking through the best time to meet up online. And I'm fighting for the time that works best for me. And you dig your heels in about the time that works best for you. And it ends up neither of us joining in. If we spend lockdown thinking, me first, then when we emerge from lockdown, we'll find we may not have fallen out, but we'll find we've fallen apart. Paul's main command in this section is verse 2. The main command is, then make my joy complete. Remember how he'd said back in chapter 1, verse 4, that he always prayed for the Philippians with joy. He rejoiced at how the Lord was at work in them. And he says, so it says in verse 2 here in our section, what'll keep me rejoicing? Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, of one mind. Like-minded, same love, one spirit, one mind. Paul's longing for them is that if he is released from prison, the news he hears about them is they've not fallen apart, because the way they think about each other, and the way they love each other, and the way the Spirit of God is at work in them has kept them standing together as one. And brothers and sisters, isn't that what we long for? At the end of all this, however long it lasts, at the end of it all, we've not fallen apart. But the way we think about each other, and love each other, and the way the Spirit of God is at work in us means we are still standing together as one. Isn't that what we want? And the question is, what will that actually look like? And the answer is, it'll look like putting others first. But the currency we have grown up using is a currency of me first. In our dealings with one another, me first. The currency Christ gives us to use is not me first, it's others first. See what that looks like. Verse 3, if we're going to stand together as one, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Selfish ambition, that's when what makes me tick is kind of what's in it for me. How can I get the music I like, the time that suits me, the outcome that fits my plans? And if I want it to be a Friday because that's what's best for me, and you want it to be a Tuesday because that's what's best for you, and we dig our heels in selfish ambition, it's not long before selfish ambition means we fall apart. Vain conceit is literally empty glory. So rather than wanting everyone to see how brilliant God is, I want everyone to see how brilliant I am. So I'm not really popping round to visit you for your good. I'm doing it so you will be impressed by me. And if you're not suitably impressed, I get the hump and we fall apart. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's all me first. And me first means we'll fall apart. The currency Christ gives us to use is others first. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Value others above yourselves in humility. Humility is not about going around saying, well, of course, I'm no good, I'm useless, I am. It is about putting others first, valuing others above yourself. What does that look like? Well, if I value myself above others, I will always think of me before I think of you. So that what matters to me is how I am treated, whether anyone listens to me, whether anyone asks me how I am, whether anyone rang me. If I value others above myself, I will always think of you before I think of me. And what matters to me is how you are treated, and whether anyone listens to you, and whether anyone has asked how you are, and whether anyone rang you. The clue that we value others above ourselves, it's in verse 4. Here's what it means: not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. See, I'm not thinking about my interests. I'm not always thinking about what would be good for me. In any situation, I'm thinking about your interests. What would be good for you? See, what might be good for me is I kick back and watch TV, but what might be good for you is I do the washing up, or I give you a call, or I write you a letter, or I pray for you. That's what would be good for you, so that's what I do. Others first. This is very countercultural stuff. The ancient world despised humility. To the Greeks and the Romans, humble is what slaves were. And in their minds, the thing about slaves is they were nobodies. They were not people in their own right, because all they did was serve others. And actually, it's not just the ancient world. Don't you think our culture is kind of allergic to humility? We've been told to dream of the self-actualized life, the life in which I fulfill my potential. And the whole idea that I should put the brakes on what I want for the sake of what you want, that I should put the needs of others before my own needs, it actually sounds like it will harm me. What, give up my free evening to help tidy the house? Give up my bank holiday to go shopping for a neighbor? Give up my dreams to look after an elderly relative? That way of living to our ears, it sounds kind of damaging. And Jesus turns this whole way of thinking on its head. It's what we'll see next week in the next section. Jesus, the one who is the somebody, the one who is God. And look at how he gave up his rights and his privileges and his freedoms to serve us. Look at how he put our interests before his own. That is what the Son of God is like. And that is what makes him so beautiful. And the culture around us says, oh, when you put others first, you are being a doormat. And Paul says, no, when you put others first, you are being like God. It's the life we were made for. It's beautiful. But we kind of resist it. You give away smarties, you sure we won't miss out and be left with an empty bowl? This is hard. Paul knows it's hard. We saw that in the previous section. He knows they're under huge pressure to kind of blend in with everyone else. And so he starts this section, chapter 2, verse 1, with a big fat, therefore, because you are under huge pressure to blend in with everyone else, to go me first, you need to hear this call to go others first. You say, but I'm not sure if I can. It's hard. Do you see how Paul pastors us? He doesn't just say, well, what you need to do is grit your teeth and try harder to be more like Jesus. That is not the Christian life. What he calls us to do in verses 3 and 4 all flows out of what Jesus has done for us in verse 1. A car without an engine is not going anywhere. You can shout at it all you want. You can kick it all you want. It's not moving. Stick an engine in it, though, and we're off. We're on an adventure. And Paul is not just shouting at us and kicking us. In verse 1, he's giving us the engine. Verse 1 gives us the power to live out verses 3 and 4. Look at verse 1. Therefore, if, and that if has the sense of since you have encouragement from being united with Christ, since you have comfort from his love, since you have a common sharing in the Spirit, since you have experienced tenderness and compassion, put others first. See, when you panic, when you think he's calling us to put others first, he's calling me to give all the smarties away, I'm going to be left with nothing, here is the encouragement. Here is the comfort. Here's why you don't have to be afraid of giving smarties away. See, the culture around us says you need to get your own way. You need to put yourself first to show them you are a somebody. And Paul says, you don't need to do that. You already are a somebody. You are united with Christ. Do you see? That's what gives you courage. Look at how he has filled you up. So you don't need to put yourself first. You can put others first. The culture says you need to talk about yourself the whole time and impress people, and then they will love you. And Paul says you don't need to do that. You have been comforted by his love. You don't need to push yourself forward to get them to love you. Look at how he has loved you. Look at how his love has filled you up. The culture says you need to put them down so you can look good, so you can be in the inner ring, so you can belong. And Paul says, you don't need to do that. Not in the church, because in the church we all belong, because we all share in the Spirit of God. And the culture says, when it comes to loving difficult people, you need to be wary, because if they don't love you back, you'll only get burned out. No. He's saying Christ has shown you extraordinary tenderness and compassion. He's given you the resources you need so you can love them. He's filled you up so you can go on loving them, even when it's really hard. We worry, don't we? If I put others first, if I give the smarties away, I'll be left with nothing. It's why we put the brakes on love. It's why we build in boundaries. We put you first, but only up to a point. But do you see how this sets us free to put others first without limits? Give the smarties away. It doesn't leave me with nothing. I've still got a whole bowl full. Still got Christ, and he has filled me up with more love than I could ever need. One of my favorite stories of the early days of Emmanuel was when we were thinking about getting drums, and one of the oldest members of our church said, look, personally, I don't like drums, but we must have them if it's what the students want. And that very same week, a group of students came to see me and said, look, we really want drums, but we shouldn't have them if they're going to put some of the older folk off. Beautiful moment. I wish I could have bottled it. It gave me exactly the sort of joy that Paul is talking about here, because it was such a sign that the Lord was at work in those people. They got it. They got how all their needs were met by Jesus. And that set them free. To say, I don't need to have drums, or I don't need not to have drums. My needs are met in Jesus. He is my comfort, my consolation, not drums. So what matters is not what's good for me, but what's good for others. So friends, look at this bowl of Smarties. See how Jesus has met all your needs. See how that sets you free to stop thinking about what you need and to start thinking about what do others need? What would be good for them? Perhaps you're at home with parents and you're thinking, well, I need to study. Yes, but what do your parents need? What would it look like to put their interests before your own? You say, well, I'm really, really busy. Well, could you get up a little bit earlier so there'd be time to help around the home? You say, I don't know if I've got the resources. Oh, he's given you a whole bowlful of resources. Or in marriage, so easy to think about what you want them to do for you, how you want them to meet your needs. You say something like, well, till they love me, I'm not going to love them. And both of you are saying that. And there's a kind of impasse because nobody wants to reach out. Everyone's thinking, well, unless they love me, I can't love them. I'm just empty. I've got nothing to give. No, look at the bowl. Not empty. Christ has filled you up with his love. You have love to give. Share the love he's given you. Or perhaps in lockdown, the danger is we get all cross that they haven't rung. But try putting others first. Put their interests before your own. Instead of being cross that they haven't rung, why don't you ring them? See, the danger is we're waiting for small group to serve me. Christ has served you. And it means you have now got the engine to serve them. Maybe you're just not thinking of anyone beyond the four walls you live in. You just got your heads down. You think, as long as I'm okay. Friend, aren't you glad that Jesus isn't like that? That he thought beyond his four walls, that he thought about what he could do to meet the needs of the world, your needs, at great cost. And you are sitting there with this bowl full, and he calls you to think about what others need and to share it out. Brothers and sisters, pick up a phone. Or when lockdown begins to ease and perhaps some of the restrictions on church life are lifted, what if the government says something like, oh, we can gather on Sundays, but only in groups of 20? You might think, oh, that's great. That's great for me. Perfect. What about those for whom it's not so great, who feel vulnerable? You're just going to press on, ignore them? No, you see, now is the time to get into the habit, the healthy habit of putting others first, thinking not just what will be good for me, but what will be good for them, because that's what will keep us all together. And if you get a whole church of people like that, putting others first, sharing round the smarties, it's very unlike the culture, but it's very like Christ, which is why it's very, very beautiful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you that you did not put your own interests before the interests of others, that you came to serve us. And we thank you that you have given us all we need to go your way. And we pray for your help in that. And we pray that for the good of our life together as a church, and we pray that for the honor of your name. Amen.
So Mike's going to join me, and we're just going to have a look at a couple of these questions that have come in. So someone wants to know, Henry Sims wants to know if he can have that bowl of Smarties now that you're finished.
Let's talk about that, Henry. You get in touch with a plan, yeah? It may be that you've got some friends you could share them with. I guess that's what that's what Henry's thinking.
Yeah, he thinks there's lots of people to share those with. Someone's asked, you mentioned boundaries. Should we as Christians just completely scrap the idea of boundaries, even if it means there's some sacrifice to be made to our own kind of well-being or mental health, which is something we're being kind of told a lot of the time?
Yeah, that's a really important question. Thank you so much for asking that. I think that the point is here is we're to look to the interests of others. And actually, often it's precisely for the good of the other person that I need to put some boundaries in. I need to challenge them about their behaviors, that I need to not let them just continue to behave like that. So, yeah, there is wisdom in putting boundaries in. But you see, what motivates us is the good of the other person. My hunch is that we're just too quick to give up because it's hard. So we don't get to that point soon enough because we say, this is too difficult for me, so I'm going to stop. But actually, in the interest of the others, it is often wise to say no and to put boundaries in to help them. But you see what's motivating us. They're good, not just my inconvenience. So it's a really important question. Do come back.
So we're not saying no boundaries ever, but we're saying think about what's driving the boundaries.
Yeah, that's right. The motivation is what's going to be for their good. And actually, that does mean putting boundaries in sometimes, yeah. I just think we pull out too soon.
Thank you. A different question. Someone says, is this how we should be with everyone? Or is Paul here talking particularly about the Christian community? I guess we just sang brother, sister, which we're probably thinking church family.
Well, he is in this particular passage, he is talking about life together as a church. And we'll go on to see that, you know, the world around us is supposed to look at the church and go, look at the way they love each other. It's what Jesus says as well. By our love for each other, the world will know that we are his disciples. So you're supposed to see a kind of visual aid of what Jesus is like when you look at his people and how they treat each other. But that also spills over into how we treat our neighbors and friends and colleagues. And of course, how we treat everyone. We go the Jesus way, which is the others first way. Yeah.
Thank you. That's really helpful. I think we'll leave it there. And I'm going to hand over to Ellie.